This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm in my drop top, cruising the streets.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, Old Dirty and the show, as well as Psycho T, a.k.a. T-Mill, have the latest. And the latest is, it is 5 o'clock, and it is 5 o'clock fire in the Astros. They win another one, 3-0. Pitching was good today, and they win behind all of their pitching. Obviously, they gave them no runs. Yiner Diaz went deep, hit a 2-run homer. Paredes was on base and scored in that thing. They win 3-0. But Framber, the ace of this team, and I think it's not just that he is the ace of this team. I think Framber is an ace. He got off to a good start this spring. He threw two scoreless innings today and allowed one walk as he threw 26 pitches and got out in and out. That's a really good start to this thing. And Clint, he is one of two clear most important players on this team. Yordan Alvarez, and then I would put him right there. Those guys, to me, are 1A, 1B right now in terms of this team's quest to reach the best that they can get to.
Yeah, look, I mean, those are the two guys that you just draw them up, and hey, this is what you're going to get out of them. You know, you're going to get a lot of innings, you're going to get some wins, you're going to get some huge moments from Framber Valdez, and hopefully you get consistency throughout the season that you saw a couple of years ago when that quality starts record was set. So, yeah, you know, there's no doubt about it. This is the year with. And even though it's probably been this way multiple times, to be completely honest, after the fact, like after we saw it all unfold.
Yeah, but the of the year.
Yeah, but I mean, like there's always been a Verlander or, you know, somebody around that's got, quote unquote, more pelts on the wall or a better resume or whatever. It seems like, for me at least, as far back as I can recall, this is the first time with Framber where it's like, all right, you're the lead dog, you're the lead horse, let's, you know, we're just going to assume that you're going to go out there and be big for us this year.
Let me read his last 3 years, accomplishments-wise. All right, last 3 years, 176 innings last year, which is low for him, 198 the year before, and then he led the American League with 201-plus innings. Last year, Cy Young finished seventh. He was 15th in the MVP. The year before, All-Star, Cy Young 9th. The year before that, All-Star Cy Young 5th and finished 20th MVP. I'm not saying that I'm not a part of this. Why does it feel like that, that I think there is a good portion of the fan base that does not trust Framber Valdez? And I think that's a point that you made after we see it all. But if you just say that right there, the last 3 years, that is one of the best pitchers in the game.
Yeah.
And that's all but at 30, before 30 then. But it does feel like we were talking about Framber earlier, and someone texted in and caught my eye, and it said, Framber is not an ace, whatever. And I'm just like, it does feel like there is a healthy portion of the fan base. And I'm not saying Framber has given you reason to, because he has had his moments. But you look at that, that would scream, that's a guy you should feel really, really good about being at the top.
And that's where we're at, right? I mean, for me, I'll tell you, like, I, I admittedly, over an entire baseball season, I refuse to subscribe to it's a long season approach to everything that goes wrong. I overreact to things in the moment, and I absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite things about baseball. It's one of my favorite things about being an Astros fan. It's one of my favorite things about being on the radio during a baseball season is the ability to I mean, I'm a fan, man. I'm wrapped up in it. But the reality of it is, if you look at Framber Valdez, as we had this conversation in spring training, like what you just read off, is what you expect. Like right now, there's no going to the season. It's what you expect, an ace and that kind of season. Whatever season you want to, whichever one you want to pick, I'll take any of them. That kind of season from a production standpoint. That don't mean I'm not going to overreact in the moment to some blow ups and some when he becomes a head case every now and then from time to time.
And I think you react even more because of the expectations
sure,
that you have.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, 15-7 last year, ERA under 3. Right?
Ended up pretty good.
And you generally can depend on him. Like it's coming in text line, it's interesting where people are coming. People are stupid is one text. The next one, he's a head case, man. He cracks under pressure. I feel more comfortable about Hunter than I do Framber. Like, he's had his moments, but, I mean, he's also had huge moments under pressure.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the last time you won a championship, he was clearly your best pitcher with Verlander, who I believe won the Cy Young that year. Verlander was on the staff. He was the best pitcher in the postseason, right? COVID season. He was great in the postseason. So that one year he had that amazing moment where he wasn't as good when Lance went down and he just took out the Red Sox in game 5 and went off 8 innings in that game and gets completely shut them down. Had one of the best performances we've seen. Now, in fairness, he has had other moments where you're like, damn, all right, here we go.
I think all of those things can be true, though. I mean, he does seem to be a little bit of a head case, especially when he's pitching in front of or behind Justin Verlander, who's steady Eddie, who always looks confident, even if he's getting shelled. Like, yeah, when Verlander is the guy that he's been pitching with, I think the natural tendency is for us to compare the two in how they handle situations. And relatively speaking, there's been moments when he's been a head case, right? There's been moments when he's been inconsistent. But the reality of it is, back to what you just read, Ron, there's
that's through, just consistency.
Through all of that, the dude is still one of the best in the game. So the moving forward, the point overall is, getting back to our original comment, is like that is what you just at this point in time you have to expect from Framber Valdez. And it's never been more important that he delivers than it is now, because there's not a Verlander. It doesn't seem to be. I like Hunter Brown, and Hunter Brown has an obviously an extremely high ceiling, but I need to see more out of Hunter Brown to make me feel better about the pieces around him, right? I mean, right now, I don't want to say pressure, but this is an opportunity for Framber to really, if establish himself is the right phrase, I think this is the right, this is the opportunity.
It's continuing to come in on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. There are some guys that you tend to remember their blow-ups more than
sure,
others.
Sure.
Right? Like,
sure.
Sometimes that happens. All right. Also this, Joe Espada, he spoke about Jose Altuve. And if you were listening earlier, Sean Pendergast was on with us. He talked about this as well. But this is Joe talking about the next time we potentially will see Jose Altuve.
I would like to give him at least 5 innings of defense.
Yeah.
4 or 5 innings of defense. I think that would be a good first day. Hopefully it's a nice sunny day. And we get a good... a good first look out there in left.
I think Captain Joe and I'm so sorry I forgot to
stand up in respect, man.
Sorry, Joe. I think Joe regretted talking about it being a sunny day that had absolutely nothing to
didn't
do
really
anything.
Fit in there. Kind
of like when you dropped A-hole earlier talking about Luke Bryan, like you caught yourself. You're like,
clearly,
mine was worse.
He didn't have a dub button to hit.
Like, I think he's at a point where he's like, what am I talking about? It doesn't really matter. Like, if the game's going on, it doesn't matter what the weather's like. Yeah, I hear you, Joe. But I mean, it doesn't matter. If the game is being played and the plan is for him to play 4 or 5 innings, his ass is going to be in left field for 4 or 5 innings.
4 or 5 innings in left field.
I hope you get some good Florida, sunny Florida weather.
Yeah, there you go. Four or five innings left field. This will be the first time we get a chance to see him in this new role, which clearly feels like it's going to be his spot on the team this year more times than not.
That was a no-brainer for me.
5 o'clock fire.
DeBrooks ahead to Shingun, gets it across. Shingun will drive over the shoulder. Got too cute. Got too cute. Got too cute.
Can't run from that free throw line. You cannot run from the free throw line. Hold the ball. They got to come foul you.
17 Houston turnovers.
Man, they got a lot in there, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Three cutesies.
And that 19 seconds, that's under 20. We got it.
Cute.
Yeah, he did. He broke it down. Got too cute.
Got too cute.
Got too cute.
Got too cute.
Got too cute. Can't run from that free throw line.
Got too cute.
And then he snuck in 17 Houston turnovers. But with all that, they did get a dub last night, Clint. And a good win for them as they keep pace with the Lakers, who won last night. They virtually have the same record. They're sitting there in the four spot, still two back of the two spot with behind Memphis and the Nuggets. So a big win last night for them. They do play another back to back. They host the Spurs tonight. No Wimby, obviously he is out, and no Greg Popovich. They're both been out, but De'Aaron Fox is still there. And I think if you heard us just having a conversation with Brandon Scott during Rockets Report, it's the thing that I've been talking about with this team the last several years, and I think they've gotten much better with it this year. But we saw it. They sometimes drop down, especially with Fred not being on the field, and Fred's not going to play, nor will Tari Eason tonight. But that is, they drop their level of competition, and they'll lose a game like they did against the Jazz.
Look, they desperately need Fred VanVleet back. There's no doubt about it. I've said it multiple times. I think they're a different team when they're not whole. Now they don't have Fred VanVleet in a back-to-back. They don't have Tari Eason. So that takes away one of your better defenders and a key role player, if not a starter. So, yeah, I mean, this is obviously in back-to-backs like this, it's going to be a different-looking Rockets team. Jock Landale is going to get a lot more run than he typically does, and you know, it's just who the Rockets are right now. I tell you though, man, it's a statement when you can beat a team as good and as healthy, at least with their stars, as the Bucks. When you can win ugly, when you can win without your best ball, when you can win making that many mistakes and turning the basketball over as many times as they did, that's a really, really good sign.
Yeah,
I mean, there were multiple times in that game, Ron, where I looked up and I thought, "Man, the Rockets are trailing. They got to be in jeopardy of Bucks running away with this one." Hell, I look up and they're up 3 or 4 points. So, you know, as tough as it is to watch at times, man, it's when you can win ugly, it's a beautiful thing.
All right, let's see if they can have one of those mature nights tonight. Get a dub, take care of business on the second part of a back to back against a Spurs team that they're just flat better than right now. And by the way, it's an ESPN game, so of course it starts at 9 o'clock down there. 8:40 tip-off. It's going to be later than that, trust me. Probably be closer to 9 o'clock. And West Coast basketball today, except it's been played in Houston.
Got too cute!
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the big game last night, Clint, was the Lakers hosting the Mavs, which means this is the first time that Luka Doncic has played against the Dallas Mavericks since the trade happened. The Lakers won the game in a tight game, which, you know, there's no Anthony Davis. They've got a couple of other bigs that are out as well, so they were shorthanded, the Mavericks. But it was a much tighter game than many people anticipated, as Klay Thompson and then Kyrie, let everybody know who Kyrie was again. But Luka did get a triple-double in this game. He said he is glad it is over and it is behind him. But they get the dub. That was an interesting one to watch. And everything was about Luka. And then by the end of it, it seemed like the old teammates, Kyrie and LeBron, said, "No, we're gonna make sure y'all don't forget we in this game too."
Do they have the Mavs on their schedule? They gotta go back to two.
Oh yeah, they gotta
go to Dallas.
Yeah, Nico gets to have it at home.
Oh, that is gonna be nasty.
Next month, we gotta figure
next month. Oh, we gotta figure
that
out.
That's why I said, man. I said earlier, I want to see if Parker can get his credentials to go to that.
That's gonna be.
There ain't no chance. You know how packed that puppy's gonna be.
It's gonna be thick, man.
Yeah, that one's. Look, I you know, I was impressed with the Lakers, how they hung in there. I'm sorry, with the Mavs, how they hung in there without, you know, without AD and them. But boy, I thought, and Tyler, you were smart not to do this. I thought Luka was about to just go smooth off. He had about 10 in the first 5 or 6 minutes, and then he just kept staring down that GM.
And then he just started filling up that damn stat sheet in every other category, too.
Yeah, well, then, as he said after the game, I just didn't have it. He couldn't hit the backside of the bar. My man was 6 of 17. My man scored 10 points in the first, like, 4 or 5 minutes, and then 9.
That over-the-head no-look when he was driving the lane
in
pass
the shooting pocket,
out to the perimeter.
In the shooting pocket for Austin Reeves.
Yeah. That was clean.
Yeah, I did. Yep. I just, what do you do with that? I mean, he's right on.
Made me basketball horny.
He's right on the torch. By the way,
I don't know that I've ever I feel probably better than I should about the Lakers in a sense of like everybody keeps talking about their ability to match up this guy and that guy, and I get it. Basketball's about matchups a lot of time. Just with those dudes, with starting with LeBron, obviously, but I mean with that crew, like I just there's just multiple ways they can win.
The thing that's getting me is I don't even know that I want to. I'm not even know if I'm ready. And this is somebody pulling for the Lakers. I don't know that I'm ready to take it serious. Like, are they going to really play this level of defense? they held them under, you know, around 100 points, if not under.
If Luka really wants to stick it to the Mavs, play great defense.
Well, he is going James Harden. Hey, go
Honey
look.
Buds?
No, go look at Luka. And the photo when he arrived to L.A., whenever we saw him that first game in his uniform in L.A., yeah. He had on a half shirt. He had a shirt underneath it. Luka looks like he's lost 12 to 15.
I told you that day. I said L.A. life.
Like, it's not John Singleton, but it is no, it's like, coming, to me, baby. It's noticeable. He doesn't have the shirt on underneath anymore.
Still smoking that hookah, though. That ain't got no calories.
No, yeah, he's not going to get that up. Yeah, he's smoking them camels. All right, coming up, we heard from Nick Caserio today at the Combine talking about maybe the most important man who is tasked to try to fix the biggest problem and issue on this team. We'll let you hear what he had to say and see if it makes you feel better about that situation. That's coming up next.
Baseball is back, and so is the big orange wagon.
I would not be panicking over Jose Altuve right now.
Hear that, everybody? Relax.
R-E-L-A-X.
Fresh out of the punch, Karma.
You know, and we did not have to stay in a very dark room for 3 days to come up with that, by the way.
New episodes every week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610. Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I want the people here on YouTube and Twitch. Shout out to you. I see you, Sean G. Kick rocks out here every day. Where's Champ Slice at? Magic, I see you on there as well. Brandon, always in the building. We appreciate you all for hanging out with us. Those of you on the gym at the Texas Hammer Texla.
I growl and bark.
Hell yeah, he does. 713-572-4610. We appreciate you as well. Jump in on this for me. We know, you know, it was an absolute train wreck. There's no need to sugarcoat it. The offensive line was horrific last year. And the worst part about it, ain't nothing more makes you mad, is how good in some ways they were to start. Remember that first game? That first game, they kicked the Colts' ass so much up front. But yes, in the run game, we almost ignored those four sacks. But it started out like, oh my God, Kenyon Green had a lot of people football horny that first one.
Running the hell out of the ball.
Oh my goodness.
Before we get to that boner.
And then shambles. It was just awful the rest of the way. Before I get you to hear what Nick Caserio had to say, I want you, everybody, to answer this as well. It seems to me right now, we'll see what kind of, you know, other moves they make, you know, personnel-wise, although I would be surprised if it's not major, like as many moves as maybe some people would hope. How much do you think this lands on coaching? How much do you think the issues of just the Jets game when he just got devoured eight times, the Packer game where he threw for 80-something yards because he just couldn't stop, he just could stop being hit, and then it culminated with the Chiefs game where he got drilled eight times and that game was just over as they were relentless in getting to the quarterback.
Yeah.
How much do you put this on coaching for the Texans?
I put a percentage on it. I'd say 60-plus percent. I think that's probably being generous. I mean, I think every aspect of what you could say the major problems are and were for the Houston Texans protection, I think the poor coaching, the poor play calling, the poor adjustments, the poor designs, I think those had a heavy hand in really all of the problems. I'll be honest with you. I think some of the physicality issues that we saw up front from the O-line and the tight ends, I think a lot of that has, you know, the coaches have a heavy hand in why that is what it is. So I would say, I think I'm putting it nicely. I'm probably being generous to the coaches, but I would say 60-plus percent, Ron.
60%, yeah. So a good amount of it to the coaching, because I do think they feel like, and that's why I'm cautioning myself that we won't see the major changes that maybe some of us want to see. I think they view coaching to be a big thing. And even more, here is Nick Caserio at the Combine earlier today speaking about Cole Popovich. Now, this is a big-time thing. They decided to just promote Cole Popovich, who was the assistant O-line coach last year after moving on from Chris Strausser, who was the O-line coach. This is Nick Caserio talking about his new guy at offensive line coach Cole Popovich.
Yeah, it's always case by case, I would say. In Cole's case, I mean, Cole's got a lot of experience and been in the league for a number of years. You know, the players, you know, had, again, you're not going based off of what players think, but they felt there were some positives. And I'd say some of the offensive coordinators that we talked about had referenced Cole as somebody that they would want to potentially consider, like, separate from us. So, all right, well, the guy's here. Okay, like, does this make sense? How does Nick Caley feel about it? We have a few other candidates that also had identified Cole as somebody. I think Cole is, you know, highly thought of in the league and opportunity externally away from Houston last year. He decided to stay in Houston. So we'll see how it goes. You know, I'm sure there's some things that Cole is going to do, kind of put his spin on it. But once we kind of get started, we'll kind of have a better idea what that looks like.
All right, as you hear it there, man, they kind of slid in there. Hey, man, other teams were looking for him. Other teams were into him. And we've heard it. DeMeco has talked him up. Not only when they brought in Nick Caley, he talked about Cole Popovich as well. They appear to be very confident that they're bringing somebody in that is going to be different than what they had last year, even though he was in the building. My question to many of you: do you feel better now? Are you getting a better feeling about the offensive line situation with Cole Popovich, even though he was on the roster or part of the coaching staff last year?
I feel better with the change. It's not necessarily so much about Cole Popovich as much as it is
change. And you feel like it's an actual change, even though
I do think it's a change. Look, I think Chris Strausser was the O-line coach. I don't think an assistant was telling him what to do, and I think they were poorly coached. And so I think moving on beyond from that is a plus. I think when you hire Cole Popovich and you keep the terminology the same and the familiarity with the room the same, that because of the situation they created with Nick Caley, you could afford to do that. I think that's a plus in that category. I do think that his time in the league, particularly with Dante Scarnecchia up in New England, I think that is a plus and something that he could lean into as the O-line coach and not the assistant to Chris Strausser, the O-line coach. And so, I think as a whole, overall, this is a wait-and-see situation for the entire offense, no question about it. Nick Caley all the way down, including Cole Popovich. But given the if we're talking about the O-line position specifically, and Nick Caley is going to be the offensive coordinator, I think the right decision was to hire Cole Popovich given those circumstances. Yes, I feel.
So you feel better.
I feel better. Hell, I feel better just because a change was made. I don't care if it was his assistant. I feel better because a change was made. But you know, we'll see if all that pays off.
Guy Gene, shout out to Guy Gene. Saw him this weekend up at Home Run Dugout. And Katie, shout out to you as we help celebrate Area 45's 1 year. But he says, bar is so low, nowhere to go but up for Popovich.
That's fair. That is fair.
The arrow's pointed up.
For me, and I know some people may say, well, then, you know, you're looking at it from the other end of the glass. And that is, it is, as you said, wait and see for me, Jack. It is hard to believe, as bad as it got. As bad as it got. Now, obviously, we know Bobby Slowick was Hal, a.k.a. the Tyrant, a.k.a. Napoleon, a.k.a. Bobby Badass walking around.
You could trouble me for a warm glass of shut the hell up.
And maybe that is what he told Nick, told Cole Popovich when he had suggestions. But it is hard for me, Guy Gene, and anybody else who has the thought of, hey, man, it got that bad? C.J. Stroud is getting decked. Repeatedly, it seemed like as soon as C.J. Stroud had that conversation with Caleb Williams to stop taking all them
went
hits,
downhill from there, didn't it?
It seemed like he started to take all them hits. By the way, Caleb Williams, the only person who got sacked more times than C.J. Stroud, and I could tell you, C.J. probably threw away a lot of balls that would have been sacked. It's hard for me to not have anything but wait and see, and not listen to any of this stuff because. I mean, you were there last year. Like you were there. Like at some point, it got so bad that hell, we got to, like, something had to be made, some kind of conversation, some sort of suggestion, and maybe he had the whole and all the answers and the keys to everything, and just wasn't allowed to by the tyrant, by Bob. But you know, I'm not 100% in that. So it is most definitely for me, Clint, a wait and see. A wait and chill scene for me on that one.
A wait and see. Ain't no doubt about it.
That's hard for me. You just sit there and say, man, after that seventh sack against the Jets, if Cole Popovich had some answers, damn it, he should have been coming for it.
We didn't use him.
He should have been coming for it with them damn answers, right? Shoot. All right, coming up as we finish this thing out, T. Mill, his best bets. A little bit of a struggle last night, but still above water right now. He's going to come back on a Wednesday and make you a little cash, make you a little bit of money, and wait till you hear where Mel Kiper says the Texans will be going in his mock draft, and I wonder how many of you agree with it. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Tyler, why don't you get your butt out there sometime and sweat like they do?
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents... The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ooh, I got a taste for some queso. Ever had that hit you?
Oh, every day.
I'm gonna bang out some pork rinds and queso. I feel like that's where I'm.
That's beautiful. I could go tortilla chips with some hot cheese literally probably every day.
I lied. Well, I would love to. Trying to break away from them carbs. And that sugar.
I just wish my carbs would go to my ass more.
That's where you would want your carbs to go.
Well, I don't have one, yes. Why wouldn't I? Back goes straight to the legs.
He ain't got much of an ass. If you're going to go somewhere, then you go straight to the old tail end. Old hatchet ass in there.
Yeah, tail end to the ass.
I really have a problem keeping my pants up sometimes, dude. Like, I'm being serious.
Do you?
Literally or figuratively?
Literally.
Is Bang got you a good, I was going to say Bang got you a good belt, but you don't wear pants that have belt.
Yeah, loops. I do. If I didn't wear a belt, I'd be struggling all day. I just recently got one pair of pants that doesn't have belt loops, and I hate them because I'm all day pulling them things up.
I thought you wore pants that didn't have belt loops.
I think that'd be hard to find right outside of suit, like suit pants. Where'd you find pants that ain't got no damn belt loops in them?
They're considered like joggers.
I got them joggers.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, joggers. I thought you were talking about them chinos like you wear.
Yeah, all the chinos I got loops because I got to keep them pants up over this flat ass.
Your joggers got a damn cord in them, don't they? It doesn't matter.
I pull them as tight and they're there.
It fights through the cord.
And then they just steadily, very slowly start falling down.
Slow death. Ain't that the worst?
My lack of ass. The problem.
So a belt works, but a string and some joggers.
Well, I bet he puts that belt on tight. He probably has the imprint of that damn belt loop right on his stomach. Is he?
You're not really wrong. Like most nights when
Belly sits on top of that buckle.
Just red. Uh-huh.
When red. I leave here each night, one of the first things I do is I take the belt like one notch lower.
Ooh, take it down.
When you get in that rig to drive home, you undo that old belt. Pulled over, that cop's going to be something. What was you up to? Nothing, sir. My belt's just a little tight, a little uncomfortable, man.
You're in the house. Megan takes off that bra. Ooh, relief. You take off that belt.
Swing.
Yeah, well.
It's lovely.
I'm just telling you, that's a hell of a combo right there.
But all that to say, I wish my carbs went to my ass, yeah.
I got you. Carbs to the ass, yeah.
Queso straight to the butt.
Carbs to the ass.
I'm sure that's what Luke Bryan did.
According to some of you, Luke had surgery.
Did he?
Had some ass plants put in that ass. No, I'm just kidding. I guess it's natural. Someone texted in, Tyler's got a Hank Hill ass.
Damn it, Texter.
It's not funny. All right, coming up behind us, Texans All Access Nick Caserio will be live. Almost got me with that, Tyler. Nick Caserio will be live tonight as he'll jump on with the fellas, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. So stay tuned for that. That's 6 o'clock as soon as we get done. And then right after that, Area 45, the fellas will hold it down 7 to 11. So stay tuned for that. And we will make you a little cash tonight as Tyler is looking to get a little bounce back here and win you some money. All right, Clint, Mel Kiper, and this is that season, man. We're going to see a lot of mock drafts.
Yeah.
Daniel Jeremiah puts them out. We're hoping that Todd McShay puts them out. See if you get Todd McShay.
Todd looks great.
I feel like this is the time.
Are you, chap?
I feel like this is the time to try to get Todd McShay.
Todd looks great.
Have you seen him lately?
On something always pops up on my social media. He looks tremendous.
Does he?
Absolutely. I remember there was a time a year or so ago where, man, he looked rough. Looked that's like he was man. Fresh off at that Brittany.
Yeah, he did have that look.
Looked like he'd been up. He'd been on a bender about 4 or 5 nights. And
yeah, it did.
And the white girl got him.
I know he came. Man, his photo looks better to me.
Oh, he looks good. Looks fresh.
Is this new?
I think he done messed around and got out in his own game, in his own media game, and realized you can make some pretty good money from the crib.
Yes, and good for him. I hope he is. I'd like to get old Todd McShay here. And I wonder how he'd feel about this. Mel Kiper has Kelvin Banks Jr., the offensive tackle at Texas. And Clint, I'll tell you how I feel about the pick. But what do you have it? Do you find it odd that Mel would go there? And would you find it odd that the Texans would go there after already drafting Fisher in the second round, which is obviously a round in which eventually you hope he would be a starter? And hell, at the end of the year, he did become the starter at right tackle. Do you find it odd that tackle would be the place that the Texans would go in the first round of the draft?
I wouldn't find anything this bunch did odd. I think Blake Fisher last year in the second round was odd as hell. To me, I was on record. I can't believe they went tackle. You got 30 some odd million dollars tied up in two tackles. Your bookends should be taken care of. Now, I didn't have the foresight to see that the selections that they had made at the guard position and center position was going to be so bad that it was going to take away one of their tackles. Maybe they did see that, and that's why they went with Blake Fisher. And Blake Fisher did end up working out for them in terms of playing and starting in critical games. And I would say playing admirably. As this roster is constructed right now, I would have a hard time making sense of another tackle, even if it is Kelvin Banks Jr.
All those parts are still there.
Yeah, there's only one thing that would make this make sense if Mel Kiper's mock draft ends up being accurate. The only way that a Kelvin Banks Jr. makes sense is if you move one of your current highly paid tackles that are on the roster, whether that be Titus Howard or Laremy Tunsil. And so you restart your – you give yourself the opportunity to get rid of one of the highest paid tackles in the game and allow the other contract to run out right at the same time that your quarterback starts making $60 million and you've got two young tackles that are on rookie deals for another couple of years kind of deal. So you could reset – you could be preparing for C.J. Stroud, but that C.J. Stroud getting $60 million. But that the only way that makes sense, Ron, to me is if you're gonna move Titus or Laremy, which, by the way, I would not be opposed to at all. I would not be opposed at all using one of your draft picks on a tackle. I mean, look, if they use a draft pick on a tackle, D'Amico just told us a first round pick you expect to be plug and play and start right away. And then use the cap space that you generate because you move one of those two tackles that you currently have, the veteran tackles that you currently have, that cap space, allow that to help you solidify your interior offensive line. I wouldn't be opposed to that. But it's a long-winded way of saying the only way I'd be okay with it is if they move Titus or Laremy in the process.
Here's my thing is I don't know what you all feel. I expect – and D'Amico said it yesterday, too, so it makes me feel even better. I expect whoever they draft in the first round to be somebody that's a starter.
Yep, agreed.
I would say that, and to me, I don't want any offensive lineman to be drafted in the first round because, yes, it is the most important position that they need to improve upon and fill, and that's why – to me, if this is a team that is trying to take the next step and get to AFC championship games or Super Bowls, to me, they need to have the new people up front be guys that are straight up bona fide answers. Guys that you have a pretty good idea what you know they're going to do. A pretty good idea of what they've done in the league and not a, hey, let's grow and hopefully get better, you know, as the season goes on, because it is such a problem, Clint. They need to address it with as matter-of-fact guys as they possibly can. I see someone texting in, Banks is projecting to move inside to be a guard. Even worse, I don't want him to start playing guard really for the first time in the National Football League. Yeah. I wouldn't want a rookie in there to play guard. I'm not saying it can't happen. Yes, I remember Quentin Nelson. He played his ass off. But I can't bank on that I'm the Texans.
I'll do you one more solid on that. And depending on how you feel about Seth Payne, which I respect and take his evaluations and opinions pretty serious.
Ron's got some juice to him.
Right. I'm not 100% sure, and I may be paraphrasing a bit, but I do believe that some comments I think a couple of weeks ago about Banks was a pretty green player that's got a lot of developing to do. So again, for me, if I'm the Texans, I need a plug and play. I don't want to develop with a guy.
Yep.
There's obviously always some level of development with a rookie, but this seemed like listening to Seth, it seemed a little bit more than just your general, hey man, you know, this is a tackle that's got some serious strengths, but he's gonna have to work on X, Y, and Z. It was more of a developmental deal.
Yeah. See, the top two priorities on this team, offensive line and receiver. I would much, much rather feel comfortable filling offensive line, especially with the issues you've had over the years, offensive line with known commodities, and then with Nico already there, with CJ already there, I would feel much better about using draft picks to help with the wide receiver spot. I would feel much better, and to me, wide receivers seem to impact teams quicker than offensive linemen do, because offensive line, D-line are the toughest things to adjust from college to the NFL.
Yeah.
That's my thought. Coming up behind us, you'll hear from Nick Caserio, the man who will be tasked to make these decisions. He'll be coming up on Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. After that, Area 45, Bajani, Creighton, and old Chris Santiago will roll this thing in. All right, Tyler, make the people some money. Do a little bit better than what you did last last night.
Yeah, yesterday evening sucked, but we still are at that 60% threshold for the week. 6 for 10, gonna move back in the right direction. Pencils ready. 5 more NBA bets for you. Best bets on a Wednesday night. Here they are listed off very quickly. Bulls +9 tonight as they take on the Clippers in Chicago. Then I got an under. Kings at Jazz, under 238 points in that one tonight. And then I got 3 player props for you here. Didn't hit any player props yesterday. So
not one.
Need some of these guys to do their job. Chet Holmgren, OKC, under 14.5 points for that weird-looking fella tonight. Then I got DeMar DeRozan, Kings over for his points, which I got at 20.5. And then a hometown hero, Alpi Şengün, over for his points tonight, as well as they face off against the Spurs, over 21.5 for Alpi at Toyota Center. What do you think?
Absolutely no reason to side swipe Chet Holmgren for no reason, just about things that he can't control. I do like those bottom two. DeMar DeRozan, that says they take on the Jazz, tough basketball team, and he'll get his points. And then Şengün, he should. There's no Wemby there, and hell, he has given the Spurs problems even when Wemby is there. And they are coming off a back-to-back, so we'll see how he's feeling. But those two make sense with what the Spurs are bringing to the table.
Hey, Houston fans.
And DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan is the number one option right now, even with Zach LaVine there. So I like those two. Good ones.
That's right.
To make a little money. We'll see what I like putting my money on the Bulls, but we'll see what happens there. You're just doing that because you hate James. All right, coming up behind us again, Texans All Access, and then Area 45 live and local all the way through. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Shout out to Sean Pendergast, who joined the show. Shout out to Brandon Scott, who joined the show. I am Ron, the show, Hughley. As always, Houston, we love you, baby.
And I know it's gonna be.
Who's number 3 on that list, by the way, in country music? Never mind.
Luke Bryan.
No, I think he's talking about females.
But I'm just saying.
Hey. Please, you can stop sending me Luke Bryan ass-shaking.
Do not stop, folks. Keep sending them buns over to Ron.
Twitter, please stop. Please stop sending me Attaboy, Luke Bryan ass. It's that.
Good Lord. How does a slip of the tongue like that even happen?
Yeah.